Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Manush Zamarodi of New Tech City. I'm in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. And if you've been thinking about getting a City Bike membership, but you haven't quite gotten around to it yet, well, you might want to get a jump on that. Reports are that the yearly price tag could go up under revised management. It's one of the measures that could help the struggling bike share program that's been popular but not profitable. And Kate Hines of WNYC's Transportation Nation, and one of my favorite people from the newsroom, is in the studio with me now to talk about a possible deal to keep the bike share alive, to expand it. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Manush.
Okay, so there's no confirmed deal at the moment,
no
right?
No confirmed deal at the moment, but
okay.
We have confirmed that talks are happening.
Okay, so there are negotiations to inject more cash into the bike share operator, which is called Alta.
Right.
So what is the latest on this agreement for City Bikes Management?
There's a company called, either depending on how you pronounce it, it's REQX Ventures.
Yeah, we were wondering about that.
Well, you know, I thought it was REQX, and I was told by Related, who's kind of sort of like the parent company, that it was REQX. And then I heard Harvey Spivak, who's the CEO of Equinox, speaking last week on CNBC, and he called it Rex Ventures. So let's go with Rex Ventures.
Cool.
This is Rex is an almost like an offshoot. It's formed by principals in both Related and Equinox Gyms as an investment company. And one of their first investments is going to be City Bike. So they're going to pump money into the system, purchase a majority stake in Alta, the parent bike share company, which would give them control not only over City Bike, but of Alta's other bike share properties, which include Chicago and Chattanooga and Hubway in Boston, Capital Bike Share in D.C.
Mm-hmm. So this new deal between Rex, we've decided, and Alta, how is that different from the City Bike sponsorship that the bike has now, or City Bank, I should say.
It doesn't change the terms of the sponsorship per se. All it changes the ownership, management, and ownership.
It gives
the new investor an opportunity to control the management of the day-to-day operations.
And so, a lot of people, I'm sure, they want to know. You're talking about a price hike. How much of a price hike would there be?
We don't know, but my sources have said that the highest the annual membership could go is $155 a year. Right now, it's $95. It could be less than that. But, you know, REQX wants the opportunity to raise it to what it feels is a sustainable, profitable rate.
I mean, I remember when they first set that rate, people mm-hmm. sort of thought that was kind of on the low side. So really, that's not
right.
too big of a deal,
right.
is it?
Well, it was important to in Bloomberg's term. One of the ways they sold it, you know, they were encouraging people to buy, is that it's lower than the cost of a monthly Metro card. You can get access to the whole system for a year for lower than the cost of a monthly Metro card. It was almost like marketing.
And there were a lot of people that went for that, right?
Right.
I think 105,000 people signed up.
Right.
And then, but here we are a year later, and the number has dropped. Only 96,000 people renewed their membership in May. Is that a significant drop for a bike share program, as far as you can tell?
It's hard to say. We've actually done, my colleague Kat Aaron has dug a little bit more into the numbers, and it looks like less than half of the early membership signer-uppers renewed, the people that bought annual memberships in May or June of 2013. But obviously, there's always going to be some drop-offs. Some people, you know, purchase memberships in the first, blush, the glow of the new system.
And I will bike.
Exactly.
I will bike many places
exactly.
every day. And
I will eat only kale.
Right.
But, Capital Bike Share in D.C., Hubway in Boston, you see some drop-off every year. But the system as a whole has been, you know, increasing members.
So, listeners, we want to know from if that sounds like you. Are you one of those people who it came time to renew and you had to make a vital decision? Yes, I will renew. Or no, I didn't use it like I thought I was going to. We want to know what held you back from renewing or what made you put down your credit card again. Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So, Kate, is it possible that the program might have been on training wheels, ba-dum-bump. So for riders who now maybe want to own their own bikes, they're like, yeah, this whole city bike thing worked great for me. If I'm going to pay $150+, I might as well just buy my own bike.
Okay, I'd like to see the bike you could buy for $155.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not great. But, I mean, the point about a city bike membership is not, it doesn't replace having your own bike. What it does is it gives you spontaneity and it acts as an extension of the transit system. It's not like you're going to go out and buy your own subway car.
Right.
You know, it allows you to do things that you would normally not be able to do because you can't carry your own bike in your back pocket.
Well, speak for yourself. Maybe there are some people, you know, those ones that fold up really, really small. And then
not in your back pocket.
Not in your back
pocket. And they weigh like 35 pounds.
They still do?
Okay. I think
so. So it is worth remembering, Kate, that City Bike is the only bike share program in the country that doesn't have some kind of public subsidy or public funding. And Mayor Bloomberg was incredibly proud of that.
So proud of that.
So can you remind us why that is? Why did it sort of start out that way and why it's different?
Cast your mind back to the Jeanette Sadek Khan years in the Department of Transportation when the city was spooling up for bike share. And things like building bike lanes were so polarizing in the city. And the DOT and the mayor's office were under fire from, you know, the tabloid journalists and people at community boards, really unhappy about what they viewed as an invasion of bicyclists on city streets.
Right.
So I think a lot of it was in the, you know, is a way to quell those people's fears. But it was
they
also
thought people were going to get killed.
They thought people were going to get killed. And it's worth noting that so far, no one has actually died on a city bike since the program
Knocked
started.
Knocked on wood right here.
And I was looking at what we refer to as our Mean Streets tracker. We've been tracking all traffic deaths from the start of this year to date. And I went back and looked at the tracker, and there have been 9 bicyclists killed in traffic this year. And I looked at the neighborhoods of those 9 bicyclists who all were killed on their own bikes, obviously not city bikes. 8 of them were in neighborhoods that don't have city bike. Only one was in a city bike neighborhood. So I draw no, you know, I can't really draw any inference from that. But, you know, it's they were in neighborhoods where there were was not a bicycle infrastructure in place.
Okay, so I want to go to the calls that are coming in here. Cassius in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn. Cassius, you are on WNYC.
Hello there. I think the main problem with this whole the bike share here in the city is that, well, I've never understood why their business model is that once you check it out, you have to check the bike in within 30 minutes from that. It's like, it's never made any sense to me. I don't know why anyone would put, any customer would use it. I mean, half an hour, like once you check out the bike and then you start riding it, you immediately have to think of where you're going to go to check it in. Like, it seems like you can't, they don't give you enough time to really enjoy using the bike. And it's just so obviously a business model set up to rack up late fees against people.
Cassius, have you...
The big problem that is with their business. Like, they can't figure that out, that they need to give people more time to use the bike and actually relax and enjoy the bike. And
are you a city bike user?
No. I own a bike, and I would never... When it first started here in the city, I checked it out. I looked at the prices, and they've never had the sense to change this business model. Mm-hmm. So I've never understood why I would want to, I should want to use it, or why anyone else would use it. I mean, people can rent bikes from bike shops all over the city. You can rent it for half a day or a whole day, and you can actually enjoy a bike.
Cassius, thank you so much. Kate, what do you think about this? That the fact that it's set up not to be actually terribly useful.
Well, you know, it's an interesting point, and I've heard that from a few people. If you're an annual member, it's 45 minutes. It's not 30 minutes. That's the first thing I wanted to say. And the second thing I wanted to say is something like, I don't have the most current numbers in front of me, but I believe the average trip length of a city bike ride is somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 to 20 minutes. I could be wrong about that, but it is not higher than 20 minutes. And the system was supposed to be set up, it was conceived of as a way to sort of act as the last leg of your transit journey. You get off the bus, that's, you know, 5 or 6 blocks from where you want to go. You take the subway to 8th Avenue and you want to go to 11th Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's supposed to be a quick shuttle. It's not a joyride.
And one of the problems that Brian has talked to you about on this show, Kate, is that City Bike is not friendly enough to tourists or day pass or week pass users. Those are more profitable for the program. program, but the tourists are just not using it. How is there any discussion about that? How to get that changing?
There's actually discussion in City Bike right now, even independently of Rex coming in and overhauling it to try to make it more friendly to tourists.
Okay, let's take another one. Let's go to Conrad in Prospect Heights, Brooklyn. Conrad, is this right that you've renewed your membership?
Yes, I did. I thought I had missed the deadline, and I thought the prices were going to go up a lot earlier. But yeah, I did renew my membership.
And why? What are you using it for? Any complaints at all?
I do have some complaints, but for the most part, I live in Brooklyn, and it allows me to take any train to Manhattan. I don't have to worry about if it's on the west side or the east side as long as I'm below 59th Street. And if I have to take a train on the east side, then I just take the bike share and go to the west side and vice versa.
Great. Conrad, thank you so much. And Kate, that sort of brings up the next thing that might happen going forward, mm-hmm. which is the expansion of the program. Mm-hmm. We've had two callers from Brooklyn so far, but there is talk about it coming to Long Island City,
right.
Maybe even. What do you hear?
Well, if you'll remember when City Bike first rolled out as what was called the phase one, rollout of the system, it was supposed to include Long Island City and Williamsburg and Greenpoint. And those were the neighborhoods that were cut back after Sandy when the system lost equipment and it just didn't have the money and the equipment to move forward and do the full expansion. So those are going to be the neighborhoods that get it. The city will, fully roll out phase one. Phase two, where it's going to go is anyone's guess. I mean, you hear complaints from everyone that it's not on the Upper East Side and the Upper West Side. These are major tourist destinations.
Yeah.
It's the Met Museum. It's the Natural History Museum. It's Central Park. It's Riverside Park.
So, and you could just shoot downtown really fast,
right,
on the West Side Highway.
So I've got to believe that is – I'm hoping, because I live on the Upper West Side.
Right.
But I see City Bikes in Central Park all the time.
You know,
people who must be checking them out, south of 59th Street and then just riding the loop in Central Park.
I'm curious to hear what you think about how the new mayor, Mayor de Blasio, makes this his own in a way, because the City Bike program is really seen as so Bloombergian, if that's a word. People were saying, New York Times said it should have been called Mike's Bikes, right? So let's just linger on the politics for a moment here. Because it does seem that a Brooklyn-Queens expansion fits with the new mayor's focus on boroughs that don't start with M. Can he make this his own?
He can. And I think he is trying to by insisting that City Bike get better management. When the system was really stumbling in the late winter of this year, he said, look, I like City Bike and I want it to succeed, but we're not putting any money in it until they get their act together.
Mm.
So I feel like he is, his staff behind the scenes is really trying to drive it to better management, to better performance.
Let's go to David on the Lower East Side. Hi, David. You're on WNYC.
Oh, two things. One, quickly, if you join a federal credit union, it's half price to join Citibank. So it's only $60 a year.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah, it's not. It's $60 versus $95. And there's also discounted memberships for NYCHA residents, too.
And
that's really great. And the second thing is, when you have an MTA subway card, you get the subway, you can take a bus, but there's no transfer fee. It's connected, if you follow me. You get off the subway, jump on the bus, there's no additional charge for the last leg of your trip.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thought for Citibank, to connect it to MTA somehow.
That's interesting.
Look at you, David. Thank you so much.
Everyone uses it like that. It's the last leg of your trip somehow. I don't know how you do it technically, but an MTA connection would make a lot of sense. You get a lot of riders that way.
David, thank you so much. Actually, on New Tech City, we did a show about how Boston is sort of looking at changing its transportation network.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried out a new service there called Bridge, where it's sort of like a shuttle service. Yeah, something like that. Use an app and it redoes the route of your bus depending on where people are. So this idea of connecting different disparate services in a city, could New York do that?
Sure. Why not?
Why not? Tell us.
Of course it could. It could do anything. We're New Yorkers. Well, I mean, for City Bike to be accessible via MetroCard, a lot of things would have to happen first. And I don't think those are going to happen. But it is in the city's interest to have as many people use its transit system and its bike share system as it can, because the more people that are using transit and bike share are not clogging roads and cars.
John in Brooklyn, I think, has a question or a comment that's near to my heart.
Comments. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, did we lose you, John? Are you still there?
Hello? Yes?
We hear you. Go ahead.
Yeah, two things. One is I totally agree with the previous caller about range anxiety. Let's make it an hour, realistically. Just, you know, eliminate that hassle. The other thing is helmets. Let's have helmets. You know, we went out to Governor's Island the other day and rented a bike, and they had helmets. And, you know, let's do, like, European safety standard helmets so that people are safe and secure. And I see so many people in Midtown without helmets on city bikes. It's shocking. And I just, you know, hope that they mm-hmm. keep safe.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. John, thank you so much. Kate, good hair or good helmets?
Yeah. You know, bike share systems don't provide or require helmet use because the point is spontaneity. Having said that, the New York City Department of Transportation wants you to ride with a helmet, and they provide, if you're a City Bike member, you get discounts on helmets on certain bike shops, and the city DOT also gives helmets away. So I do agree that, you know, safest bet is helmet usage, but it's not part of the program.
Okay, and last question for you. This, how does promoting cycling in the city contribute to the mayor's Vision Zero plan, which, of course, seeks to eliminate traffic deaths by 2024? I mean, helmets surely would help that, too.
Helmets probably would help that. But, you know, study after study shows that when you make a street more friendly for all users, meaning bicyclists and pedestrians, the rate of fatal crashes drops. So the more bike lanes that are on city streets and the more, you know, excellent pedestrian crosswalks and thoughtful countdown clocks and safety amenities are available, the safer streets will be for everybody.
And just to follow up, you are covering, I'm assuming, that there are two new slow zones that go in effect today.
Broadway in Manhattan and Jerome Avenue in the Bronx. Their speed limits are dropping from 30 to 25. They're two of the 25 arterial slow zones that the city is setting up as part of its Vision Zero goals.
And presumably we can get more at Transportation Nation, Kate.
I think you can, Manu.
Okay, we're going to leave it there with Kate Hines of WNYC's Transportation Nation. Kate, thank you.
Thank you.